Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution, as always, made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. If you haven't signed up to be an InvestTalk Insider, you're missing out on a lot of free information, useful lists, and webinars, too. And a new info sheet called, Can You Afford That House? The 12 Costs of Home Ownership. It's easy and free to sign up. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down the page until you see sign up for free to become an InvestTalk Insider. End of commercial. And now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It is the 26th of May, 2016. It's all about above average investing for the average investor. Meaning you can do it. You don't have to hire people like me. You don't have to. But you do have to have interest, time, and some knowledge. And that's hopefully at least the knowledge part you can get from this show. Well, this earnings season, this last past earnings season for the first quarter of 2016 clearly demonstrated a preference for consumers to shop online instead of the malls, instead of the big box stores. Now, in my market commentary on InvestTalk.com, I wrote that online shopping is becoming the norm, and that trend will continue. Big box stores will have to adapt or die. Now, I'm talking about a book and a term that pretty much ad nauseum, I guess, for people, the concept of creative destruction. And this is kind of what's happening with a new creation of a new way to shop using Amazon.com and other online shopping websites versus going to the big box stores or going to the mall. It's a very dynamic process, and it's inherent in a free market economy. It's inherent in it. And it's a phenomenon that's very good. People think it's bad. It's not. It's good. And it's both for products and services, you know, the different production techniques, different methods of doing things. You know, the obsolete industries go away and new ones take its place through technological advances, maybe through new product. It doesn't matter. New systems, new processes. It doesn't really matter how it works. But in a free economic system, every entrepreneur is out there looking for the better widget, the better way to do things. That is a good thing. Or else we'd still be using candles to light things, mechanical clocks, watches, phonographs, records, punch cards, teletype machines, steam locomotives, typewriters, vacuum tubes. All that was destroyed by new technologies. And, of course, there's a lot of professions that were destroyed, too, that disappeared. You know, just the way it is in industrialized countries when they first started up, you know, you had, we no longer have blacksmiths, bus conductors, elevator operators, ice delivery men. Remember those? Or you probably don't. I was before my time. Telephone operators, I do remember telephone operators. Television repairmen. Remember when they used to get your television repaired? You never went out and bought a new flat panel screen when the old one went out. You had to repair typewriters. Creative destruction. This is what this is all about. It's not, of course, across everywhere because some countries and political systems don't want to give up the old. They want to keep the old. Forget about the new. Even here in the United States, don't think it doesn't happen here. Want me to give you a recent example? How about General Motors? The government decided to save General Motors. Now, you're going to also say, well, they decided to save a bunch of financial institutions, too. Well, the difference, there's a difference. Think of let me give you an analogy. Let's talk about a tree. Think of a tree. How does a tree live? Well, it lives through the sap that flows up through the roots, up into the tree, and out to the limbs and makes it grow. If the financial system collapses, that's like constricting or choking off the sap of the tree, and the whole dang tree dies. But if a limb, in the case of GM, dies, you can cut that limb off, and new branches, new leaves, new sprouts come grow. Now, I'm thinking that we should have let GM go under and not have the government come save it. Why? Because GM could have, number one, reorganized like we have laws for them to do and start afresh. They could have let them do that. Why didn't they? Because of the jobs. They were worried about jobs being lost. I'm thinking you should have let the jobs be gone, whatever jobs got lost, because a new company like maybe Tesla would be 10 times bigger now instead of competing with GM. GM would have been gone. Or Ford or other automakers could have been bigger. Whatever. Creative destruction is a good thing, not a bad thing. And we in the United States let it thrive pretty much. Not consistently, not always, but pretty much. And other countries are even worse. I mean, they're much worse than we are in trying to save old industries that shouldn't be saved. Enough of that. Do you have questions about spotting trends and creative destruction? Bring your questions or comments to me if you would. This is the hour to do it. Before we go any further, let's check in the 24-hour listen line. 888-99-CHART is the anytime number.
Hi, I work for a county in the CalPERS system. I wanted to find out, they offer a deferred comp program that has a lot of selections, but I wanted to know the pluses and negatives of using the set years for retirement versus kind of picking and choosing small cap, large cap, and all, I guess, all the other types of funds that are out there, either doing that or keeping one that has, it's set for a retirement year of 2030 or 2040 or 2050. Thank you very much.
You're talking about target dated funds. I don't care for them. I'd never like them. I will never like them the way they're set up. I think that they're a poor investment choice. What they do is they make it sound, that since you don't know what you're doing or anybody doesn't know what they're doing, all you do is just pick the date you retire and pick that target date, da-da, and the fund itself will slowly get more conservative as it gets closer to the date. But in their definition, getting more conservative means buying more bond funds, and it may be just a terrible time to be buying funds as you get closer to that target date, or it might be a great time. I don't know. But the target dated funds ignore the times. For instance, if you had a target dated fund right now, that the target date was 2016, you would be hugely amount in bond funds. And this is a terrible time to be investing in bond funds. And if you did invest in bond funds, you would want to make sure that they were short-term maturities bond funds, not long-term. Because if interest rates go up, those bond funds will get crushed. See, so I don't like the target dates because they ignore the reality of the times that the date gets is the date sets. It's just automatic. It makes it simple for people who don't want to think about it to pick, but it's not a good way to do it. You'd be better off doing it yourself. Pick your S&P fund, and then if it's a good time to buy bond funds, then you buy them. But not, you don't. Anyways, also, why don't we go ahead and take a text question. Hi, Steve. Your thought on stock symbol NE for entry, please. Thank you. Tim. NE. Let's look at NE. NE is Noble Corporation. A Swiss company engaged in offshore contract drilling services for the oil and gas industries worldwide. And, of course, I have been saying, I said way back in the beginning of the year, time to look at oil companies, and I like big oil companies because oil prices were so low, but now they have recovered, high 40s, $48, $49 a share, $48, $49 a barrel. So you would think that then would mean that the drillers would recover. This is my problem. My problem is, in reality, we still have way too much supply of oil. Even though prices have gone back up, where supply is too much, and everybody knows it. So the drillers are still not going to, even though this particular company is pretty low price, the drillers are still going to suffer. Don't fall in love with a low price stock. It's $8.40. Remember, the price is only as good as the earnings. Well, the earnings in 2015 were $2.65 a year for that year, $2.65 per share that year. In 2016, this year, they're going to earn 56 cents a share. So based on $8.40, that's not that expensive. Next year, they're going to lose 65 cents a share. $8.40 becomes expensive because now they don't even have earnings next year. So we have to look at the sales. Don't fall in love with that yield of 8.3% dividend yield. Who says they can keep that up? They don't have the money coming in. They can't keep it up. Don't fall in love with that. That looks dangerous. Now, I will say that I think about $7 is a bottom for this stock. It doesn't look like it bounced off 7. It went up to almost to 13, 14. Then it came back down. That was in March. And then it came back down $8 or $8 and change. And today it's at $8.40. So, you know, it's now bouncing off the low that it made in February, March. And it looks like it's starting to trying to retest that low. I wouldn't buy it because it's not going to make money next year. I don't think that it's time to get into the drillers, personally. Just don't think it's time to get back into the drillers because we have an oversupply. It's as simple as that. Oversupply of oil. Why you may not enjoy retirement. You may not. I tried it, didn't like it years ago, hated it. I mean, just hated it. My early 40s, there's reasons, I'll tell you why. Also, let's talk about companies are less transparent than they used to be. Corporations with their earnings, they're much less transparent than they used to be. Even using the GAAP, General Accounting Principle method that they have to use, they're still less transparent than they used to be. Cutting capital gains tax strategies. How you can cut capital gains tax. There's certain strategies that we'll go over here that you probably need not heard of. Some of these, I'm pretty sure you have not. And why is Europe attacking all our big tech companies? Google, Amazon, Netflix. And did you see that France raided the offices of McDonald's? Today in France, their head office in France was raided by the French government today. Stole their computers. Well, I don't want to say stole. Absconded with their computers and records. Europe is attacking our companies. We'll talk about those too. 888-99-CHART. That's our number. You're listening to Invest Talk.
Hi, Steve. This is Dave from Boston, a podcast listener. I was looking in the chemical sector, and I found a company, IOSP. And it looks interesting to me. I wonder if you could give me your opinion. Thank you.
InnoSpec Inc., headquarters out of Inglewood, California, manufactures fuel additives, personal care and fragrance products, and specialty chemicals. It's a $1.1 billion company. It made $4.36 in 2015. Notice lately I've been telling you what it made and then what it's made, bringing it forward. And this year, $3.35 is the estimate for the earnings. And next year, $2.99. And I'm hoping that you've been paying attention, noting that a lot of companies' earnings are going down. That's the wrong direction. But the whole S&P 500 earnings and sales are going down. And this company's sales are shrinking, shrink 15%. The first quarter is going to shrink 21% this quarter. Before that, they were growing their sales 10 to 20% per quarter, but not recently. And I would have to find out, why is that happening? I don't like that trend. I would not buy that trend unless I had some really good answers there. It's a fairly low-priced stock, $2.99, $48 stock. So, it's around a 15 PE looking forward, but the earnings and sales are going in the wrong direction. So I would not buy it because of that. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. I'm sure glad you're spending some time with me today. If you got questions about how to spot companies who are heading for bankruptcy, give me a call. We'll talk about it. It's pretty difficult, pretty hard because they try to hide it. 888-99-CHART. Chart. We're going to talk to John in San Francisco and wants to talk about Lockheed Martin. How you doing, John?
I'm okay. Thank you very much. I like your show.
Thank
Could you please tell me about Lockheed Martin? Is it a good stock to hold or fold?
I think I would, if you own it, I'd keep it. That's for sure. It's been doing very, very nice. And if you bought it at the right price, you could follow it up with a stop. But this Lockheed Martin Corporation, of course, manufactures military aircraft, missiles, satellites, submarine combat systems, and missile defense systems. And in this world that we're living in, military aircraft and missiles and defense systems seem to be pretty much in demand. And Lockheed Martin has done very, very well this year. I mean, it started the year off like around $220 a share. Now it's $241. And that means it's up 5, 6% when the market is flat. So not too bad. And earnings are going up. Sales are going up. So, you know, it might be a little bit on the expensive side. But I do like the company. If you don't own it, I'd probably wait for a pullback to buy it. But if you own it, you hold it until it breaks a trend line downward or something, because this is a good solid company at this point. A little concerned about a lot of debt though, John. That's about the only thing I'm worried about for Lockheed Martin is their debt level. It's pretty high, but it's a great company.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
John.
You very much.
Appreciate the call. Thanks. Lockheed Martin, the symbol's LMT. LMT, everybody. Okay, so let's talk about our main talking point today. 11 facts about, there's an article I can refer to called 11 Facts About Retirement, Every Retiree Should Know, but I'm not going to go through all 11 of them. I'll go for the ones I think you should pay attention to. And that is, you may not enjoy retirement. Everybody thinks they are, and they're tired of the job that they go to every day. But when you don't have a structure in your life, in other words, you don't have to go to work, if you don't replace it with something else, you'll be bored out of your mind. And please, I am speaking from experience. In my 40s, I retired. I didn't need money, and it lasted 2 or 3 months, and that's about it. I was too bored. Couldn't do it. Your retirement also may be a lot longer than you expect it to be. Some people think that, you know, oh, I'm going to die. I won't live past 80. No. No, if you reach age 65, chances are very high you're going to reach age 90. Very high. And more people are going to live to be age 100. 100. And not invalid 100 either. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about still being with it at 100 because of the modern medicine that we have. And then, of course, modern medicine costs money, doesn't it? Okay, and so you got to have the money. If you don't have money and you're finding you're living longer in retirement, you don't have the money, you can live for less. You can move to someplace cheaper. Cheaper, okay. I'm involved with that right now. Well, my father-in-law is moving from a place that cost, you know, $2,800 a month to live to a place that's going to cost $1,700 to live. It took a while for us to find it, very nice place, smaller, but it doesn't need bigger. And, you know, it's for senior citizens. You can do it. Or you can move out of state and you can live really cheap. And it's not crazy to keep investing in stocks, just not with all your money. And you only should manage, you know, it's a question of risk tolerance, and what do you need in retirement? Do you need growth of your assets? Anyways, there's other things. You need to stay active. You really do. You need to stay active and be social. You don't want to lock yourself up in a room. That's a sure path to dying. And you don't need that. Still need to, and you can meet people online these days. It's very good online community for senior citizens. But be very careful. You can also get ripped off online. You know, you got to be very, very careful. And you know what? You're getting older. Don't panic over needing help. Don't not ask for help if you need it. That's what relatives are for, family. You know, or if you have the financial wherewithal, you can hire help. Those are some of the things you need to think about. That's about retirement. You know, I talk about it all the time, retirement, because I have a lot of clients that are close to or in retirement. And myself. I'm not going to retire, quote unquote. I don't want to. I already tried that. Didn't work. But, you know, as I get older and older and older, I'm in my early 60s now. Yeah, there'll be a point where, you know, I'm not going to be able to do what I do. And that'll be a very sad day. But, you know, I need to be realistic. We all need to be realistic. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I got a few other talking points I want to get to before the end of the hour. One of them is cutting capital gains tax strategies that are out there. And that might go to the retirement argument we're discussing, or entire strategies. There's different strategies you can do here, too. We're glad you're with us today for InvestTalk. If you'd like to schedule a portfolio checkup with me, I was up in San Jose yesterday, had a really good time. Beautiful weather up there. I'm scheduling some one-on-one visits on Skype and telephone for May 31st. You can get on the schedule if you like. Just go to investtalk.com. And I will be scheduling new times. I'll be up in the Bay Area in June. I'm always up there. And we'll post that and talk about it here on the air. This is InvestTalk.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast, as always. And remember, no matter where you listen in the United States, you can have your retirement portfolio reviewed by a registered investment advisor at no cost. Steve does a few of these each month on Skype or telephone. To schedule your time, just click on the InvestTalk tab on investtalk.com and then Portfolio Review. We continue now with this Thursday, May 26th, InvestTalk. What is the best use for the cash on a company's balance sheet? How does the company plan to raise capital in order to fund future growth? Good questions, but you have yours too. Ask Steve directly at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Thanks for the really great show. I've learned so much. I was wondering, I got into AMAG, A-M-A-G, and it's down considerably. Just wondering if I should sell now or hang on and see if it gets some recovery. Thanks for your input. I'll be listening. Bye-bye.
I'd hang on to it now. AMAG, AMAG Pharmaceuticals, develops drugs with a focus on anemia, cancer, supportive care, and maternal health. The reason why I would hold on to it now, because sales and earnings are still growing. The company is going to make $5.23 this year. Made $4.43 per share last year. And next year, it's going to make $6.25. That's 18% growth this year and 20% growth in earnings next year. Sales were growing 2, 3, 400% a few quarters ago. But now they're only growing 22, 23%. It's a small cap company, $704 million. Therefore, it's going to be volatile. It's selling for $20.30. $20.36. That means the PE is below four. Return on equity is 25%, cash flow. This is a very inexpensive company. Now, why is it so cheap? That's where you have to ask. Well, one of the reasons is because sales have fallen from 400% a quarter growth to only 22% growth. And the stock was $60, $70 a share. You know, not that long ago, last year, 2015. So it's taken a big hit. Now it's $20 a share, but now it's really cheap. So because it's a small cap company, your biggest worry is, well, is it going to survive? Well, sales are growing very fast and earnings are growing very fast. So you need to look at, well, what is the quality of sales? Are they sustainable? That's really what you're looking for. Is it growth sustainable at 20%? Because growth of sales are slowing, you want that to turn around. That's what you're looking for. But the stock is very cheap. I'd probably hold on to it at this level. I think I'd hold on to it. I mean, I don't know where you bought it, but at this point, it looks awful inexpensive to me. AMAG is the symbol, everybody. Companies are less transparent than they used to be. Every company that's listed in a public exchange has to follow GAAP rules, general accounting principle rules, okay? General accepted accounting principle rules, GAAP, GAAP rules. And they do. But GAAP also allows for companies to supplement their numbers with non-GAAP information. So what's happened is that 90% of the S&P use their own metrics in their reports. So they do report the GAAP, but then 90% of them gives you non-GAAP. Now, the rules say they have to not put any additional emphasis on their non-GAAP supplemental information. But the information is there, and how they present it to you is that, you know, hey, we're doing pretty good, when they're really not. You know, so you got to be really, really careful these days, because they're lying with statistics. And I don't want to say lying, because that would be not totally true. But they are obfuscating with statistics. And it's getting more and more prevalent. What's really disturbing is, remember, you as a shareholder, actually the owner of the company, and your own company that you own is giving you false or misleading information. Maybe not false, but misleading information. And that kind of disturbs me. You know what you can do? You can get rid of a lot of noise by drilling down to just earnings. What are earnings doing? Is it growing or shrinking? How did the earnings come about from sales? And they're going to always excuse themselves by, well, the earnings per share would have been this if we didn't have these one-time expense items. You know, I have seen one-time expense items of different one-time events every quarter for some companies. Well, at what point do they stop becoming one-time? I mean, yes, they're different one-time expense items, but who cares? They're still expense items. How much money did you make? That's all I care about. Company, how much money did you make? Are you growing your earnings? You're growing your sales. Don't give me all this camouflage and tell me all these other things that you're doing that, and give me all these reasons why you're not doing great, but we'll do in the future. No. Pretend you're, who is it? Is it Kansas is the show me state? Illinois? One of those states, or the show me state. You show me your earnings and your sales growth. And don't fake your sales growth by trying to push sales through the channel early just so you can report good numbers of this quarter and next year's is not so good. Or hide it because you bought a company and now that company's sales are added to your company sales. I want to know what internal sales growth for the core company that you are. There are all kinds of ways that they hide what's really happening, and you have to figure it out. You really do. Now, as we enter an unpredictable summer with a lot of volatility, it's expected. You might as well expect it. Many investors flock to stay invested in large cap branded companies. So that's not necessarily a bad idea. And InvestTalk insiders can see our brand new list of overvalued companies. So maybe you got to be careful about those big branded large cap companies. Might be too pricey. You can see it. You can sign up for free on investtalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
The change can occur without even knowing. The change may increase or decrease the risk in your portfolio. That's why it's a good idea to check and rebalance your portfolio regularly. Need help with that? You can meet with Steve via Skype or telephone on May 31st. You can only meet with a limited number of listeners, and if you'd like to be one of them, schedule your time. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Jay in Fremont. How you doing, Jay?
Hi, Steve. I had a question on GameStop. It fell after market, and it's $27.50, and I want to know if it's a good buy at that price. Thank you.
Okay, it's $29.98. It closed today, and it fell after market, and I have to probably, my guess would be earnings. Misses on fewer blockbuster launches, yeah. So that's what it's going to be, misses its earnings on fewer blockbuster launches. In other words, games. You know, they don't have huge games. More games that are launched, the better they do. The company is a pretty good, solid company. It's a $3.1 billion company, and it operates 7,717 GameStop EB Games and Micro Mana stores worldwide to open 140 new stores in 2016 and 17. So it's growing its store size. It's growing. Sales are kind of flattened out. That is an issue, kind of flattened out. Earnings are growing very slow now, 3% to 7%. Next year, it's going to make $4.27. This year, it's going to make $4. But it's a very low-priced stock for the earnings that it makes. And they pay a pretty darn decent dividend. So I would think what you want to do, Jay, is see what opens up tomorrow. Don't buy it tomorrow. That would not be my suggestion because it's going to fall sharply. Let it fall and see where it settles down for a few days, okay? Then pick it up. If it holds above the low it made in January, which was like $25 a share, if it holds up for the next few days or next week or so, that might be a good time to pick it up because it's awful inexpensive. Okay? Jay, appreciate the call. Thank you. Now let's answer another text question. Good show. What do you think about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin instead of gold? Okay, let's put it this way. Gold has been a de facto currency since the beginning of time. And Bitcoin has been a currency since the beginning of a couple years ago. How much risk do you want to take? If you want to take a huge amount of risk, go buy Bitcoin because it could work. I mean, yeah, you know, you've seen how it's really jumped up and it's really crashed and then really jumped up over the last couple, 3 years. But gold is different. Gold is long-term, steady. Yes, it can go up and down, but it's nothing. You can't even compare gold with Bitcoin. You can't compare the two. Bitcoin is, you know, is currency, is digit currency, where gold is physical, heavy weight, solid gold that everybody is very familiar with. So you really can't compare the two. You really can't. As far as currencies are concerned. 888-99-CHART. Okay, cutting capital gains tax strategies. How can you do it? You know, we all know how there's some of the basic rules, but have you ever considered gifting? Now, I'm not talking about older people gifting to younger people. I'm not talking about fathers and mothers gifting to their children. I'm talking about children gifting to their parents. What am I talking about? Transferring assets to older parents. Why? Why would you do that? Because you can gift them an asset, let's say a bunch of stocks. You can gift them a certain amount without any tax consequences for the parent. And the parents can hold on to it. And I know this sounds morbid, but when the parents die, you inherit their stock that you gifted them years before. And you get the stepped up cost basis. In other words, let's say you bought a stock, $50 a share, and now it's $100 a share. You gift that stock to your parent. They keep it for the next 10 or 15 years or however when they die. And then you inherit it. Whatever the price that they die is now your cost basis when you inherit it. Kind of a lot. It's an idea to avoid paying capital gains. How about this one? Considering using a joint exempt stepped up trust. Okay. Joint exempt stepped up trust. You're going to have to talk to an accountant because I'm not that. But what this does, it lets a surviving spouse, so husband and wife, or wife, or husband, I don't care. It lets a surviving spouse sell an appreciated asset without capital gains tax. It's called a joint exempt stepped up trust. Now these are just two strategies. There's more, but they can get pretty convoluted and complex, and they're not usually for the average person. Usually they're for people that have wealth or families that have wealth to use these kinds of strategies. But you can too. You can. And of course, I'm sure all of you know about 1031 exchanges. If you don't know about that, that's about real estate. You can text me or Justin or send us an email. We'll talk about it if you have questions about it. But those are two of the main ones I thought were the most interesting that a regular person could use, meaning you and I. We're here for you. Beginner experience investor, doesn't matter, 888-99-CHART. If you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during our live program, which is 4 to 5 Pacific time every day, Monday through Friday, well, you can call the number, 888-99-CHART, anytime you want, leave a message, and we'll answer the question on the next show.
Hi, this is Simon. I'm from Houston, Texas. I listen to your show over iTunes podcasts, actually. My question is, if I set up a Roth IRA with a stock or a fund that pays dividends, are the dividends also tax-free until I take the Roth IRA out at retirement? Thank you very much.
Well, that's not quite right. The dividends are tax-free, period. Okay, they're tax-free when they're paid. They're tax-free when you take it out of retirement. You never have to pay taxes on any of the growth or the dividends inside a Roth. They're tax-free, period, forever. When you buy something in a Roth, pays dividends or capital gains, you never have to pay taxes on them. Never, never, never. Okay? Try to put that in your head. And a regular IRA, all the money that you earn during all the over the years, all of it, dividends, capital gains, you don't pay anything while it's happening, but when you start taking it out, the money you take out is added to your adjusted gross income for that year, and you're taxed at ordinary income rate for that year. Okay? When you take it out in retirement. Hope that's clear. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, did you see what happened with McDonald's today? Did you see that? Or Alibaba, two little news items before we had to take a break. In France, McDonald's headquarters in France was raided by the government. They're looking for tax money, saying that they're not paying their fair share of tax. Now, I have my next talking point is talking about Europe attacking big American companies, but specifically tech companies. But they attack every big American company. The other item, okay, so you had France attacking McDonald's. And you had RSEC, Securities Exchange Commission, questioning Alibaba about their method of earnings and sales, about their bookkeeping. Because remember, it's got to be GAAP if you're listed on our stock exchange. So those two things were pretty big items for big companies. But there's also our next talking point, talking about Europe attacking huge American tech giants. They're attacking us, and they have been attacking our companies. Why? Maybe they have reasons, maybe they don't. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. If you still have questions, we still have time. 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART. So Europe is attacking huge American tech giants, Google, Amazon, Netflix. Now, this is nothing new. They've attacked big American companies before. It's just the modus operandi because, and don't think it's just Europe. We do it here in the United States. We attack our own big companies. So I don't want people to get all, bent out of shape. And it happens. Well, right now, France is attacking Google, besides McDonald's. And they're attacking Google for the same reason they're attacking McDonald's. They're attacking Google. They want more tax dollars. They don't like the way they set up their tax structure. And every corporation tries to avoid or tries to pay the least amount of taxes. That's normal. They should. That's their job. Their job is to protect shareholder value. Okay? Netflix, though, is a little bit different. Europe is saying, worried about Netflix being too dominant and not reflecting European identity. So this is where they're snobby. This is where they have their nose up in the air. What's European identity? That cracks me up because, you know, you look at all the immigration that's happening. What is European identity? It's changing. So I don't know what it is. But they have laws, and they're telling Netflix that you have to show 20% of your content produced by European companies. So they're insisting that they have to do that. Laws. Now, Amazon Prime does the same thing kind of as Netflix. They produce content, 27%. But the EU is saying, yeah, but you're producing it here in the EU, but you're producing too much in English. Well, that's not acceptable. It has to be in whatever language that the country is in. If it's France, it's got to be French. If it's German, it's got to be German. Give me a break. Of course, they're also attacking Amazon about their tax structure as well. The EU is getting more and more proactive, it looks like to me. More and more proactive in attacking big American companies. You know why they don't attack big European companies? Because there's very few successful big European companies, especially in tech. Name them. You name them. Go ahead and name them. Name them for me, please. I'm very interested in hearing what your big European tech companies are. Now, there are some, but you can't name them, can you? So they aren't that big. Let's try to answer one more question before the hour's up. 888-99-CHARGE is our 24-hour number.
Avesh from Atlanta, Georgia. I have a question on the stock symbol GPOR, Gary Paul Orange Robert. I was wondering what's a good point to get in. It's in the oil and gas industry and natural gas. So I was wondering what your perspective is and what's a good point to buy this stock. Thank you. Bye.
See, I thought they were talking about GoPro and it got the symbols mixed up. But that GPOR is an oil company, Gulfport Energy Corporation. It's a $3.8 billion company engaged in exploration and production of oil and natural gas in the Louisiana Gulf Coast, Ohio, and Colorado. Looking at it, okay, they lost 16 cents a share last year, but this year they're going to make 31. Next year they're going to make 53 cents. The earnings is going in the right direction, but sales are not. Sales are going to be down 29% last quarter and down another 11% this quarter. The sales have to turn around as well before I would consider buying this company. It looks like it put in a very strong bottom around the $21 or so a share. Today it's at $30 a share. I'm looking at all the other numbers. It's not impressive enough to me. I don't really think it's a good time to be buying these small oil companies. Remember, we have a worldwide oil glut. And the barrel of oil has gone up strongly from the high 20s to now the high 40s. I have a feeling we might see a retracement of some of that. Our time is up. I wanted to tell you about a useful info sheet that could be of help to you. 10 questions to ask when picking an agent, a real estate agent. It can cost you or save you a lot of money if you pick the wrong one or the right one. Just go to Invest Talk tab and sign up for it. You can see it right there. You'll see it there. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for myself and Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.